But my thoughts are basically was on faith this morning. Just simple, flat out, the word faith. And you get to thinking about the aspects of faith. There's a lot of different, I guess, aspects that you could look at. There's saving faith and there's living faith and a lot of those different things. But, you know, when we've been talking about in Sunday school this morning, or for the past bit, that the declarations of faith or the articles of faith that we as Missionary Baptists look to, that we get our, I guess, from the Bible, the understanding of the truth and these things that we stand on. And in the first one, it says, we believe that the Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. That it has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. That it reveals the principles by which God will judge us, and therefore is and shall remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and opinions should be tried. So in this first declaration here, if you will, or whatever, the declaration of faith, I think about this morning, there's one of those things. We find that this says in this, and we find in the teaching that what is said here is true, that God is the author and salvation for its end. There's an aspect of faith that comes into play, and when you start thinking about the word faith, and I've tried to preach on this before, and actually I find the word to be just overwhelming. It's such a big word. It has so many different meanings, and or not different meanings, but so many different, I guess, ways to look at it or approach. We live in a world today that has a fictitious, I guess, would be the best way I know to put it, understanding of the word faith. I believe that today that until the Lord saves your soul, that you have not had faith. Until the Lord saves your soul, you have not had faith yet. So we think about that this morning, and I'm going to read a couple of verses this morning in the 13th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. This is Apostle Paul here speaking on his third visit to Corinth, and he's speaking to those people and have in mind a lot of the things that the Apostle Paul was dealing with at this time with the church at Corinth. I've heard many people say today that it was a church that we today probably wouldn't ever fellowship with. There were so many bad things going on there, and there was idolatry, and there was just all kinds of things. There were men that were false preachers that was coming in there and trying to change the minds or the opinions or the thoughts of. There was Judaizers in there that was trying to take people back to the Jewish ways from what the Apostle Paul had preached and taught them. There were so many different aspects that the Apostle Paul dealt with in the Corinthian church, and so many different things. And, you know, we live in a world like that today. We have people come in from all walks of life, from all sorts of backgrounds and understandings of things about what God is and what He is to them and what church is. So many different aspects of this. But there's, in this 13th chapter, and I'll just read the 4th and 5th verse. Apostle Paul here is speaking of Jesus and himself. Says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves. This is my key verse today. This is my key verse in my thoughts. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. In this word, in this fifth verse here, it tells, the Apostle Paul is telling the people at Corinth to examine themselves. Now, we here believe that that unless you've actually truly been saved by God's grace, that you can't see really anything but the, I guess, maybe what's going on. You might be able to see somebody get happy. You might see somebody testify. You might see tears. You might see shouting. You might see a lot of different things, but until you've been saved by God's grace, you may not be able to understand that. It may not sink in. You may just see it as something but not ever think of it as to be anything. You may think in your mind, why don't I have this? Why don't I do this? Why don't I do that? Why don't I have these feelings? Or why is this not happening to me? The Apostle Paul here was telling them, and there's no doubt that there were people there that he was speaking to that was not saved. And he possibly knew that. He understood that. They may have come in from a different background, most of these Jews that had come in, and they were people that were there that was, like I said, they'd been living in idolatry, idolatrous lives, sinful lives, all kinds of types of situations. But he told them, and he wanted them to examine themselves. That's all any of us can do if we're honest with ourselves, is to make an examination, going by what you've heard and what you know to be true. Now, everybody that's here this morning, it's somebody that's been here before. They have heard and they understand the things about God. These things that I read that God inspired this word that we read out of is no secret here this morning. That the things that we read, that we believe, that they are God-breathed. And that they were given unto holy men to pin down for our help and for our soul salvation. To point us to Jesus Christ. We believe that this morning. But for those of you that may be lost this morning, maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you don't want to come to the understanding of what we're saying as being true. That maybe you don't believe that everything that's written in this book here was God-breathed and it was penned and it was given for you that you might be saved. That you might be that you might find salvation as its end. See, that's the key thing. There's nothing in this whole wide world worth a plug nickel if you don't have salvation. If you've not been saved by God's grace, if you have never had faith, there's nothing in this world worth anything. You can travel all over this country, you can have a bazillion dollars and do whatever you want. Think you've got it made, but it ain't worth anything without salvation. Because there's a judgment coming one of these days. We're only going to live here on this earth for a short period of time. And there's a judgment coming. So this morning, you think about some of these things. And you think about faith. And I guess when I was studying and I was thinking about this, I was to think about faith, I almost have to go backwards. I have to go backwards in my explanation this morning. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews tells us in the first verse that
that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So basically it means that there's a proving of something. That true faith, what you have in you, is something that can be proved. That you can know and that you can understand. We preach and we teach of a time and a place that the Lord saved our soul. There's a point in our lives that there was a proving that was done in our hearts that allowed us to know and understand that we were saved. We know this. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we know this and we understand this. There was a proving of this. And without that proof, you haven't had faith. You have not had faith without that proving. Without that part, you ain't got anything. Because God wants you to know what you got. What good is God giving you something and you don't even know what it is or what it's about? What good would it be? What purpose would it be for God to bring us into this world, send His Son Jesus to die on a cross for the sins, for our sin, for my sin? That's a personal thing. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for me, that I might trust in Him and believe in Him, that He might save my soul, and then I don't even know that He's done it. What good would that be? What good would that do me? How much assurance could I have that Jesus died for me? I can read it in a book, but can I truly have assurance? No. I can listen to some preacher preach and tell me that. But I may not believe. See, it's that point of having faith. If you never get to that point where you had faith and you had an experience in your life, then you're lost and doomed for a devil's hell. You're headed on a one-way street right down there. This morning we think about, as I was thinking about in my studies, so many verses in here. You have to consider this morning that there's a verse in the 6th chapter of the book of John in the 44th verse. It says, "No man can come unto the Father except the Father that sent me draw him first." Basically to say that there's a work that's done here. There's a work that's done inside of us that is beyond us. There's a drawing that's done. There's something that tells you, or I guess the best way to know, there was a feeling. I had a feeling. That's how it happened to me. I had a feeling. You read it in the Bible and you can say it was a drawing. And you know that I can look back now and know that it was the work of God, that He was allowing me. He was drawing me to Him. He was showing me the right way that I needed to go and the path that I needed to go. He was drawing me. But back then it was a feeling. And it was an uncomfortable feeling. It was one that I didn't like, that I didn't enjoy. But it was a feeling. And it felt bad. Didn't it? It felt bad. Most of us didn't. When we was under conviction, we felt bad, didn't we? Bible tells us in the Psalms, in the book of Psalms, in some different places, in the 34th verse, in the 18th, or 34th chapter and 18th verse, says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth as be of a contrite spirit." Now there's conditions that I believe that goes along with salvation. I believe there's conditions of our heart. I believe there's conditions of our mind that goes along with salvation. I believe that Brother Burke mentioned this morning that the Lord when he was in the garden, he didn't have to make a way for mankind when that, after they sinned and fell out of the graces, good graces of God, but he did anyway. He sent his son Jesus. And there has to be, just like I read in the beginning, there has to be an understanding. It has to start in the mind first. You have to have an understanding in your mind that, yes, God is real. Yes, that this word is holy, that it is God-breathed. It was inspired by God. There has to be a point that you understand that. And it all goes along with that feeling, that word contrition, that he's near to those that are of a contrite heart. The word contrite means to be crushed. When I was lost, I was in that shape. I was brought down. It was just like the Lord was crushing me. It was a work inside. The Lord was dealing with me. I could feel it. I knew it. It's what had to happen. I would have never sought the Lord had He never come to me and convicted me. I would have never bowed down. I would have never looked to Him. But He did, thank goodness. He let me know. And you know, I had enough understanding with those old, good old saints that I was going to church with there, that when they had stood up and I'd seen them tears running down their eyes, that smile, Jesus Christ. understand that as a boy. Salvation is not hard. The gospel message is not hard. We make it hard. We make it hard. We try to jump through hoops and do this and do that. The Bible says repent and believe. John Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ that came to straighten the path before him or before the world, to tell them that the king was coming here, that Jesus was coming. He said, repent and believe. Jesus came right in behind him, and his message was, repent and believe. Repent your sins, trust in Jesus. When you do that, to the satisfaction of God Almighty that you have to pray to, that you have to bow down to, that you have to talk to, when you do that to His satisfaction, that's when you get faith. That's when you know you have faith. That's when you understand that you have faith inside of you. Because it's a proving. It's a substance. There's something there. Bless your heart. You know, you think about anymore these days, you hear so much. You think about eight people will turn over here to this 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And they'll read them a verse out of here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then they'll go to him and say, you believe Jesus lived?
Yeah.
You won't be saved? Yeah. Well, then you're saved. The lie from the pits of hell. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God, without that inner work of conviction and that drawing of the Holy Spirit of God, you've never humbled yourself down. You've never been brought low. You haven't been brought down. You've made a mental decision. That's as far as you went with it. That's as far as they've gone. They made a mental decision. They've never entered into the arena of repentance. And they never, ever will find faith.
We don't want to think of ourselves as being bad people. We may have been raised in church all our life.
It doesn't make any difference if you've never repented and trusted in Jesus. If you go to church every day of your life, until you die, if you never trust in Jesus, you never repent of your sins, hell will be your home when you open your eyes. After you took your last breath and you opened your eyes, you will, just like Lazarus did, in that story, Lazarus and the rich man, just like the rich man did, you'll open your eyes up in hell.
Think about just all the falseness that goes on. There's a word that in my studies that I found it a long time ago, and it comes back to me. And the word is compunction. It means a pricking of the heart, a grief or remorse preceding a consciousness of guilt. See that feeling that I got inside of me when I was a little boy? It was guilt. I was guilty. God had opened my eyes and He showed me that I was guilty, that I was a sinner before Him. See, that's it. I was a guilty sinner. And if I didn't trust in Jesus, my punishment was going to be hell. It's not that difficult to understand, is
I won't spend a lifetime in that prison of hell now because I've had faith. I trusted Him. I won't have to be there. I trusted in Jesus. I believed in Him with all my heart. And He saved my soul. If there is anybody here today that's lost the same way, He's here for you this morning. He wants to save your soul. Don't you ever depend on a man. Don't you ever depend on a baptism, a church, a sprinkling, or whatever you want to call it. Don't you ever depend on that. The only way that you can have faith, the only thing that you can have assurance of peace is through Jesus. You can have it this morning too. You can have it. But if you never seek Him, you'll never find Him. I said that many, many times. And I believe that the Lord deals with people, and I believe they harden their hearts. He's not going to make you be saved. He knows what's best for you. He knows what you need, but He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you bow down. I pray this morning, as in our writing, that you'll examine yourself, that you'll prove to yourself where you stand before God. You don't even have to be in this church house, but you need to, before you take your last breath here on this earth, you need to prove to yourself where you're going to go when you take your last breath. And you ain't ever going to be able to do that unless you talk to God. You can't do it unless you talk to God. There's not a man that can tell you. Once you took your last breath, you've done all you can do. There ain't nobody bringing you out of hell. Nobody's going to get you out. Once you're there, it's an eternal thing. I want you to think about that this morning. I want you to think about your soul. This word here has a reference to, or first it says examine, and then it says to prove. Has a reference to the trying of metal by fire. Trying of metal by fire. Will what you have hold up to the test? Will what you have this morning hold up to the test, or will fire devour? Will the fire devour what you've got? What you think is going to get you to heaven? If it does, then you ain't got the right stuff. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. One of these days, don't wait until that moment. You can know before you go. Brother James Little, he mentioned the other day that it's on our signs out here on our interstates right now. It says, know before you go. And there's a phone number on there that you can call to see if the roads are clear. I'm going to tell you this morning, you need to know before you go, and there ain't no phones that you can pick up to call. But the Lord is nigh to those that are broken hearted and contrite spirit. He's there, He's ready to save you. Please, please, please take the time and opportunity He's given you. Know before you go. Examine yourselves. Be honest with yourselves. You're honest with yourselves. I ain't got a doubt in my mind that you'll turn to God. That's my message this morning. I do want to have a song. I want to give you this morning a chance to, if you feel like you need to seek the Lord, I want you to seek the Lord. Examine yourselves this morning. What does it feel like inside this morning, too? Do you feel separated from God? Do you know that you've had faith, that you've been saved by God's grace? Is there something there that assures you that heaven's going to be your home? And I ain't talking about anything else that you could have done other than repentance and faith in Jesus. Because there ain't nothing else going to get you there. This morning, if you will, think about these things. Brother Bert, we have a song.
Turn to page 369 to sing the first and last verse. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?
He can talk to me I don't need any drums. I don't need anybody but me and him. And he can stir me up, and I can get happy, and I can feel him all the way to my core, to the very depths of my core. I can feel him. I don't doubt him. I know he saved my soul. I don't have something that somebody told me that gave me. I don't need somebody to do something that's going to create it in me. He did it all by himself.
Amen.
All I did was ask him for it. And he gave it to me. It was very simple. Very simple. And I thank him so much that I don't have to have all those drums to get stirred up. That he just stirs me up by the very presence that he gives me, that I can just feel him right now. He just is right there. I can just feel him. I can feel him, Brother Armour. And I'm thankful for that. And if somebody in this church house doesn't have that, they better get down on their knees and get it right.
Yeah.
Because if they're doubting, if they can't feel him, I don't care to judge anybody. That is not me. But I'm just telling you what I got.
If we can't judge anybody's heart, we don't know what's on somebody's heart. I guarantee the Lord does. And that's the kicker. You can hide from the whole world. Your family, your friends. You can hide from everybody in this whole wide world. But you answer to God. You answer to God. And God alone. That's the problem. Therein lies the problem of just not seeking the Lord. Anything else on anyone's heart?
Appreciate the message.
Well, all right, I told your message of truth. Appreciate it.
Things. I appreciate the message. We got some friends that love her. I've come to her what you said this morning.
Maybe that'll work. We can show it to her. Love here. That's what it's for. That's what the whole world is here, baby.
I wish we could. Anything else? If not, all standing will be dismissed. Come back tonight at 6. You mentioned Brother Bird tonight. Maybe do a little singing tonight. I don't know if you will or not. Come back. You know, we were doing that for a while. So come back tonight. Let's all fellowship together. Sing. All hearts, minds, free.
Brother Barry, I think we missed a verse. Can we sing that verse, that middle verse that we missed on that song?
Absolutely. Middle verse on that song. Are you good?
Alright, second verse on 369. There's a bright day coming.
Are
You know what I mean? It's not a difficult thing. I knew as a boy. Never was that smart to begin with. Even as I got older, I never was that smart. But I was intelligent enough and I had enough sense to know and understand. Something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. And I knew where to turn to. And he saved myself. Been good to be in the Lord's house today. I pray that, pray for this message that it'll have its effects. I hope it just hope it gets in somebody's pocket and stays with them.
Brother, we do have our women's fellowship on Tuesday night. We need to ask the ladies to bring a snack, and we're going to take a collection of goodies to put in boxes for our college children or young men and women, and any military folks that are associated with our church. And I've kind of extended it also to maybe somebody that we might know that needs just a little TLC, just a little helping hand, or just a special box that shows somebody cares. So just bring, if everybody can bring at least one thing with them, that'd be wonderful.
I can repeat all that, but y'all heard. Well, Chad, would you dismiss the word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you at this time to thank you for this wonderful day, dear Lord. Me enjoy the good message that was delivered when I ask you to remember the lost, give them the conviction that they need to seek you, Lord, before it's too late. When I ask you to go with us, Lord, to keep us all safe and harmed until we gather here once.